Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Hi, everyone. My name's Travis, if you didn't pick that up from before. I'm 21, I think. 21 years old, came to Oxley back in the day and haven't left, so there you go. So tonight, if you've got your Bibles here, I'm just going to read from Ephesians 1. Where are we? Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 14. Give me a second. There you go. So Paul obviously talking to the Ephesians in Ephesus. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. That's probably one of my favourite passages and possibly one of the longest sentences in the Bible. So I'm thankful for the NIV version putting in the commas and the pauses in there for us. When I was thinking about what to actually say tonight, I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll do a testimony, maybe I'll say something, but I don't know, that just kind of hit a block, I don't know, a roadblock, so I'm like, okay. What do I share? And I just kind of felt that this passage is such an awesome and, in the full sense of the word, awesome unveiling and passage that just shows us Christ in ways and in a way that just blows your mind. That Christ is so vast and glorious, and that relates directly to who we are. So if we can even understand, because you could speak for a whole year, I reckon, on this and not get to the depths of it. But if we can understand by God's grace, even in part of this, that just releases us into life, the life that God's got for us, into, just into the riches of his glorious grace, which sets us free. So I'm just going to pull apart a little bit of it bit by bit. So the first part, Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't think that needs much more explaining. We have been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And that, as we filter through, we'll see how that unpacks a little bit more. We were chosen, this is awesome, we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless. And when I think of that, I think of what happened at the fall, Adam and Eve in Genesis 1. And it's God in his grace, the Bible says that Jesus is the lamb that was slain before the creation of the world. Jesus knew exactly what he was getting himself into. He knew exactly what he was doing when he came to this earth. And that's just something that's awesome to kind of get your mind around. The next bit in the passage was, Christ acts towards us always in love. God is love. We hear that in John 1 John, but Christ always acts to us in love. So if we're tempted to think, in the trial or situation that we go through in different times, as Pastor Oxy says, and as people often say from up here, I've been so often tempted to bring my faith down to the level of my experience, what I'm feeling. oh, it just seems the whole world's against me. But when we understand that Christ always acts towards us in love, it sets us free from that. And it's truth. So the next bit of it was, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. God's intent and purpose, were part of it, has been to have sons and daughters, which he has achieved through Christ and in us. I think that's just something. God's intention and purpose is to have sons and daughters, which he's achieved through us. That's just something, if we had 2 hours to sit here and think about that, we could take that, I reckon. He's blessed us in the beloved, the church, with his glorious grace. We, the church, are the beloved of God. And I just underlined that word, beloved. We are the beloved of God. Be loved. We are so lavishly loved that, we're the beloved of God. Christ's bride. And this is awesome. How privileged and loved are we that Christ has called us his beloved? That's an awesome privilege. And that is probably the highest honor. If governments give honors for bravery, governments give medals for different things, but the highest honor, you could have an OAM, I don't know the honors, but the highest honor, I reckon, is that we have been counted sons and daughters of God, loved by God. As I said before, Christ knew exactly what he was doing when he went to the cross. Hebrews 12:2 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame." How boundless and wonderful is his grace. The passage goes on from there. In him. So I just pause there. Because in him. How many times the Bible says in him. It's by Christ's grace, by Christ, for Christ, through Christ. All those, I don't know what they're called, but those prepositions or whatever they're called. Just, we're so united with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit." God's promise is that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Just before Jesus ascends back into heaven, he says, "Go out into all the world and preach to all the nations, that baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And behold, I'll never leave you nor forsake you." That's an awesome, awesome, awesome privilege and thought to have in our minds. The next bit is, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. I wish I had, and I know I have only have 10 minutes and I'll get told off if we're going too long, but if we had each one of these points, we could elaborate on for hours and hours and hours. So I encourage you, if you have, 20 years, go and read Ephesians 1 and kind of just sit there and or be in awe of God's word. Yes, the next bit, so we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, and this is in accordance to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. So those words, riches and lavished, they're just words that you kind of, they're just full of meaning and full of depth. What Christ did, the redemption through his blood, is according to the riches of his grace, which he poured out on us. I kind of think of a waterfall. Just pouring over endlessly, and it's just lavished upon us, and that's God's grace and God's love for us, just again and again and again. And this he did in all wisdom and insight. God's plan in Jesus is not a patch-up job and not a band-aid in the slightest. God planned and purposed, willed, in fact, he willed to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and in earth. God never does things by half measures. God, as we heard this morning, I can't remember exactly what I'm thinking of, but God is first and God deserves the best from us. And God never does anything. God doesn't think like we think. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God can't be like, myself, as the guy said this morning. God purposes and plans everything, and he never does anything. And that's a real comfort if we're going through something, whatever we're going through, uni, school, assignments are real hard, year 12. God never, ever, ever does anything without having our best interests at heart. And we can trust that whatever we go through, as I think Graham said this morning, that I've lost the train of thought. God never does anything that we won't be able to stand up under. God never takes us into a situation that we won't be able to deal with and cope with his strength. This is really awesome. He willed to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and on earth. The way God created, the way God called Abraham and Israel, the people and events all throughout the Bible point to Christ. The Old Testament is a testimony about Jesus. And that's what makes the New Testament so rich. The richness of the stories and events, how God's been working throughout history, just gets revealed in Christ in the New Testament. The New Testament overflows with this. When we read, and this is real encouragement, this is something, especially I often know when I was younger, I kind of thought the Bible kind of feels really dry. And you kind of either have to force yourself to get through it or you just don't do it. So if we can get a vision and of when we read, we have the privilege of asking the Holy Spirit, who spoke the scriptures into being, to reveal Christ to us in everything we read. And that's from the old Genesis 1 all the way through to Revelation 22. And the streams of different topics and whatever, like the blood, just all the different themes in the Bible that go from the beginning to the end. And these all point to Christ. I kind of think of an X almost. The Old Testament kind of starts wide, God diverges right into Christ and kind of zooms out again. But they all have their centre in Christ. And all things don't lead to Rome. All things lead to Christ. All roads in the Bible lead to Christ. God has and never will deviate from his plan and purpose to unite all things in Christ. And whatever we're going through with whatever issues in the world and the government and whatever, we know that God will never, ever, ever, ever deviate from his purpose and plan, that one day Christ will again stand on this earth. One day we will be raised from the dead. One day Christ will rule over all the earth. One day heaven will come back to earth. One day Christ will reign as Lord and King. And that's our hope as Christians, and that's the awesome hope that we have. In him, so we're finishing off the last couple, in Christ we have obtained an inheritance, which is according to God's foreknowledge and will, as he works all things out for his purpose and for his glory. That's an awesome thing. Sometimes I think that my Christian walk is kind of, I kind of get my eyes fixed on myself and kind of think, oh, how am I doing? Am I being a good Christian today? Am I not lying? Am I not annoying my brother? Am I not doing this, not doing that? But when we realise that our Christian walks by God's grace is for his glory, that just completely takes our eyes from us up to him. This walk that he's given us the grace of participating in is for his glory and for his, glory. And the last one I've got is, when we heard the good news, the truth about Jesus, and believed, we were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. So just a few words in there. When we heard the good news, which is the truth about Jesus, and believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. And this is all for his glory. So, I don't know, that for me is, especially as I just walk through life and do whatever God's calling me to do and work and do whatever, that just, by God's grace, we're marked with that seal of the Holy Spirit, who brings these things back to our mind. And it kind of lifts our eyes from the situations we're in and gets our eyes on Christ. And that, knowing this truth is the thing that just sets us free and gives us light and joy and peace in the midst of every situation. So, Lord, I just ask that you give us peace and joy. And I just ask that you reveal to every one of us these truths, Lord God, because they truly set us free, Father God. So thank you so much for your word. We love you, Lord. Simon.
I forgot how awkward paper is. Let's just pray first. Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that you're an amazing God, and that you, for your mercy and your grace, Lord, I pray that you make me receptive tonight to your voice, Lord, and that my words are your words, Lord, and that my heart is your heart tonight, Lord. In your name, amen. So, my name's Simon. Oh, this is not going to work. I'm just going to get rid of that. So, some of you may know parts of my stories. Some of you may know nothing about me. I'm 27. I'm currently in my third year of teaching. I love teaching. I love working with kids. Well, actually, I love teaching sometimes. I love teaching at the moment because I'm on holidays. That's great. I discovered that in preparation for tonight that, well, I thought that there'd be a lot of similarities between teaching and speaking up on here. Probably not as many as I thought. Also discovered that probably to be up here needs to be more receptive to God. So I'm hoping that I am a bit more receptive tonight. Chris has told me pretty firmly without the time limit as well, so I'm trying to work on that. We'll see how we go. I have to apologise about a couple of things. I probably will digress a bit. I probably will go on a tangent and have a bit of a rant. That's probably the inner teacher in me. I am sorry about that. The other thing is that I have self-diagnosed ADHD, which I got from Google. The things you can find on Google are terrific. So if I do walk around a little bit, I apologise. That's just me. I'm also a bit stiff, actually. Side note, this is the first one. I went to bounce yesterday and discovered that bounce is not a great thing for me at the moment. And landing on your head is not how you're supposed to do it. So that's okay. My story is a lot like the prodigal son. If I had to give it a title for tonight, I'd probably call it the prodigal truth, which is a bit bizarre. So my first memories of church are in Sweden. My dad was a pastor and evangelist, and a lot of my memories are travelling through to many countries, listening to preach to lots of people. Always by his side was mum. Mum's definitely a prayer warrior. My memories of mum always praying for me at night, listening to her hymns and listening to her sing to me at night. I have two older brothers. They're in their mid-40s, so I'm a little bit of an accident. Mum and dad say I'm a great accident, so that's a good thing. Family reasons brought us to Australia, unfortunately, but fortunately, I guess. Mum and dad made education a priority for me and made lots of sacrifices as well. So they enrolled me at Oxley, where I spent most of my life from kind of early grade 1 to grade 12. I'm not going to speak a lot about Oxley, but the one thing that, in terms of Bible, in terms of instilling, the one thing that sticks really firmly to me is that Pastor Dave always made us memorise all these scriptures. And now the fruits of that really come out, that I am able to remember them and that I can apply them to my life and speak those truths into my life. So that's a really big thing. I was a great Christian up until the age of 15-ish, I guess. I didn't swear. I didn't drink alcohol. I was nice to all my friends. I prayed. I came to church morning, night. I helped out with kids' church. I was brilliant. I was honestly brilliant. I did once steal from the neighbour across the street. He had this cool Lego toy that I really wanted. So probably a little bit envious, but apart from that, I was really good. In fact, I was so good that I thought that I could actually tell my friends how to live their life. And sometimes it wasn't my friends. I'd tell them to stop drinking, stop smoking, stop swearing, just stop being silly. That was the kind of thing that I would do as a Christian that I'd take upon myself to do because I was so self-righteous. And it's kind of ironic how you look back at that now. At the time, I definitely couldn't see that, and I couldn't see my own faults, which is quite an interesting thing. As I kind of became an adult, I guess you could say, and getting to the age of 16, life started to kind of, it just wasn't enjoyable for me. I started to struggle with issues, and I didn't feel like the world was the biggest fan of me. I became angry at God, church, family, friends, you name it. I was just generally angry. I felt that God was highly unreasonable with my prayer requests, and that I was vigilant enough with my prayers for my two unsaved brothers. Probably what hit home the hardest in regards to that is that, again, it comes down to Google. I went through that stage of Googling your friends. I decided to Google my brother and found out that he had won gold medal at the Gay Olympics. And when I was at that time of really praying for him and really wanting to see him saved, and then I find out that, it was a slap in the face. It's amazing for him that he got a gold medal, but it was a slap in the face for my faith and for what I was hoping to see of him. And being my self-righteous self, I sent him the most hateful religious jargon email that I could. Homosexuality is a sin. What are you doing with your life? You will burn in hell, blah, blah, blah. And it went on. It was probably a little bit of a thesis for him. And he never spoke to me from that point in. I saw him occasionally, but there was no real conversational love there, unfortunately. I blame my parents for my brother's demise. They didn't understand me. I started to contemplate the point of life. I started to cut myself. I realised that actually cutting yourself is quite an easy thing to do without people finding out most of the time. And I just wasn't enjoying anything. School didn't do anything I needed, and I needed an escape. Luckily, I found my escape. My escape came in year 12. It was the chance to go somewhere new and start fresh, and that was year 12 university selections. So I chose the furthest university that I could find in Victoria, which happens to be all the way in Bendigo. And I think you had to do 8 enrolments for it. It didn't matter what they were. I just enrolled. It was, I think, education, nursing, law, business, engineering. It didn't matter. I just wanted to get out of here. Luckily, education was on top. I discovered very quickly that university life was different from school. I was pretty good at making friends quite quickly, going out socially, having a drink and having a dance at clubs. I kind of enjoyed dancing. I kind of felt that it was a way to express myself and feel really good about myself. Very early on in my first year, I was out at a pub with some friends and I actually got drugged. And the only thing that I remember from that is... The only thing I remember from that is waking up in someone else's bed in the morning. No idea what had happened that night. From this point in, I hated myself. So I just started to party harder. Girls and alcohol kind of became my priority in life. And that's kind of what I did for most of university. Kind of came to my fourth year of university. I'd just turned 22. I woke up one morning after a big night out and sat on the kitchen bench. And I just thought about the person that I was. I hated myself because I knew who I was meant to be and I hated who I'd became. And I can remember calling Mum and Dad and saying, "Mum, Dad, you've got to come get me. I'm a mess." It was the next morning. They were there with their trailer and their car and they came and brought me home. I left Bendigo without saying goodbye to anyone. I just left. When it came to coming back to church, I had a feeling of guilt and insecurity. Several friends were, and I'm not going to name the people because I'll probably miss someone, several friends were massive at that point in time. 2 or 3 weeks came and God came very real in it, just in such a real way. Alan Meyer was preaching and I was sitting second row just over there. I can remember I had 2 mates on my left and, well, actually mates all around, but particularly remember the guys on my left. I could just feel filling up all this guilt welling up inside of me, and I knew that it was getting to that point of an altar call, and I knew that I could just feel that, and you're just battling with yourself. You're fighting with those emotions, and I just kind of, after having that battle, I came out and just stood there, and you're trying to hold back all the emotion, trying to look big and tough and all the rest, and I can remember Graham coming over, just lifting up my hands and praying with me and just feeling this condemnation that I had, this guilt that I had, this everything that just was wrapping me up inside was just released. My self-righteousness was gone, most of it as Anais kindly reminded me of. No longer do I look down on people because of what I did, partly because perhaps I was one of them, mostly because I have a real understanding of God's grace and mercy. I actually have some relatability. I've discovered that telling people how to live their lives and what they need to change and what's going to do, wasn't going to do anything but separate the friendship I had with that person. And I guess just a couple of scriptures I have that kind of really stuck me through that time as well. It's in Ephesians must be great. Ephesians 2:8-9. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Also Romans 3:23-25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Also, today was actually really interesting. I got to go to Anae's family side of the church this morning. So it's at Wonga Park. And he spoke on Ezekiel 18. It was really interesting because I could really relate to it. I don't know if you all know Ezekiel 18. I'm not going to go through it now because it's too long. But it was really interesting because it really talked about how our outworkings of God's grace based on our actions in terms of repentance, transgressions, and making of a new heart and spirit. So it kind of really reinstilled in me that I was actually supposed to talk on this stuff tonight, despite how frustratingly hard it might be. Life got really great from this point in time. Except for university, I was kind of at the end of university and I began to loathe it. I'd almost finished, but had this overwhelming feeling that I wasn't good enough to teach, and I really started to doubt myself. Luckily enough, I got a job at Oxley. Didn't think they'd ever actually want me back. I got to work with a VCE student who had a motorbike accident and became a quadriplegic. So an amazing experience where I got to be in the circle of education, I guess, which was really great. I have lots of people around me who instilled faith into me, confidence into me and who I was as well. And in 2012, Graham Fletcher was here and he was doing prophecies one night. And I knew God had kind of had more for me, and I'd probably my self-doubt and my self-thoughts had kind of held me back. I went out and he prophesied into my life about a career change to support the complaint in my heart. And it was a confirmation I needed at that point in time. It's really bizarre sometimes how God works, because it was a month later that I had my job to be a teacher, and it was everything that I needed to hear, and it really just got me off and got me going, got my application out there, and I'm at the same school now, and it's going amazing. I don't think that my complaint has come to fruition yet, but I know that those steps have taken place and that there's more doors to come. As for my brother, I've reconnected with him. I've apologised for him for all the awful things I've said to him. So I was lucky enough that he actually invited me to go over to Europe and hang out with him for a bit, and we've really connected, which is really great. I'm still praying for him and obviously my other brother as well. I think since reconnecting, the big thing, and it's a little bit of what Trav's touched on as well, I've really got to understand his mercy and grace. I think I was too self-righteous to have an understanding of his mercy and grace, because I was probably too based on works. I think I have a better understanding of God's will, character, glory, and being of that. There's so many things that I could think about that I walk away from in regards to, I guess, my story. The one thing that I wish that I could do and go back, and I know that I shouldn't have regrets, but is that I had talked to someone when life started to go bad, is that I had found someone to talk to, and that I hadn't done that. And it's very evident as a teacher today that that issue of mental health and talking to someone is just not happening. So it would be the one thing that I would encourage people to do, is to don't be afraid to talk to people and to listen to people as well.